Do you sometimes feel you don't deserve good things? If you've ever struggled with feeling worthy, you'll want to work your way through the delightful new journal called Worthy of Wonder from Unity Books. It's full of coloring pages, spiritual quotes, writing prompts, and creative exercises that will help you explore and understand your divine value. This spiral-bound journal is the perfect gift for you or a loved one. We all deserve to feel worthy. Learn more at unity.org/worthyjournal.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Empower yourself and get inspired to build the life of your dreams. Welcome to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Drayvon James, and this is Everyday Peace. I'm super excited to be here with you today as we explore the concept of living a life of peace every day. Peace defined as wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality. Can you even imagine right now, no matter what's going on in your life situation, right now, that you are whole, you are complete. There really is nothing missing. Right now. Just go ahead and inhale on that. Just hold that peace in for just a second and then take a deep, complete exhale from the belly through the mouth. Amen. And yes, it is possible for you to have peace every day, knowing that yes, you deserve everyday peace. And yes, everyday peace is possible. We work together on this show to bring you the guests to partner with you as you create your life of peace every day. And as our listeners know, our anthem for 2021 is What Are We Waiting For? As everyday peacemakers know, we have everything we need right here, right now, to be our best selves, right in this very moment. I announced this at our theme at our very first show of the year as a reminder that we can be our best self every day. There's always a reason to delay working on ourselves, our jobs, our family obligations, school, work, you know, the pandemic. There's a thousand reasons that we could have for not working on ourselves. But on this show, we encourage the exploration of self and the journey back to everyday peace, regardless of what is happening in the external environment. Now, speaking of what you are you waiting for a long time we were talking about the brand new revised Dr. Drayvon James website. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is no longer a wait. Right now, the website is up. Our new website, drdrayvonjames.com, includes prior shows, words of wisdom and encouragement, excerpts from my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, contact information, our free course, you name it, it's on there. The website is just wonderful. I'm so proud of the job that was done on that website. And I would love it if you have not gone to visit the new website at www.drdrayvonjames.com to please visit today. And return often as the site is constantly being updated. We're adding new materials to it. I encourage you to bookmark the site so you can visit frequently. If you've missed any of our previous years, the shows for this year, you can simply re-listen to them by subscribing to Dr. Drayvon James' Everyday Peace podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher, or you can listen to them on the UnityOnlineRadio.org website. And that is our news, and it brings us right to the Everyday Peace Moment part of our show. And we have discussed that everyday peace is a pathway for what I call the pyramid for improved health, wealth, and relationships. Today, we have two wonderful guests who are both advocates of living a healthy lifestyle as a foundation for a successful life. I'm really excited to talk to our guests today and to bring their information into your lives. But before we move forward with that, I want to just travel back in time to our very first show of the year We were lucky to have the acclaimed speaker and radio personality, Vincent Jenna, on the show. And Vincent shared some really interesting information with us about New Year resolutions. He let us know that 90% of the time, New Year resolutions fail. We don't see them to completion. We acknowledge that we need to set goals differently if we want a better outcome. And that's just not at New Year's. That's any time. We need to set the goal differently if we want to increase our chances of hitting the mark. Other guests we've had on through the show have also echoed the same thought, that we can hit the mark if we set the goals wisely. There is a tendency for us to look at what we don't want in life and believe that by looking at what we don't want, we'll get closer to what we do want. You know what I mean? Like, we'll say, I don't want to weigh an extra 10 pounds. And we'll focus on the fact that we weigh this extra 10 pounds or what have you. I don't want to continue to have to work late hours at work. We keep focusing on that, and we draw more of that into our lives. So what we've learned is that when we change our focus to what we do want, we increase our likelihood of achieving that goal, knowing that our life moves in the direction of our most dominant thought. So just that simple switch, you know, of changing the way we think about the situation, changing it to my focus is on what I do want, not on what I don't want. So as we move forward, keeping that in mind as you move through your day, move through your life, is that simple changes. It's good to set goals, but how we look into the future is most important, looking towards what we want and not what we don't want. And that is our everyday peace moment. And that brings us to our first guest. Kathy Freston is an author, speaker, and strong advocate for a plant-based diet. Kathy teaches about the benefits of a vegan diet, everything from saving money, better skin, and even improved sex life. Kathy's book is titled 72 Reasons to Be a Vegan. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Oh, we're excited to be here. And I am so excited for you to talk about one of my favorite topics is alternative diets that help us to move our life in the direction that we want to go into. So I'd like to start at the very beginning, and just how does one make a transition to veganism? It seems like a huge from a animal-based diet into a veganism.
Well, I love what you're talking about is, you know, putting your mind in the place of peace and the dominant thoughts going there. I was a writer and still am a writer, but I was writing on becoming more and more conscious and awake in our lives. And I was talking about spirituality and relationships, doing service, meditation, things like that, having purposeful work. And I realized at some point that what I had not really looked deeply at was the food that I was eating. And that's something that I do 3 times a day, and I was pretty much unconscious about it. And I started feeling like, okay, Kathy, you are a hypocrite if you are not, you're talking about waking up and being aware, and you're completely unaware of where your food comes from. So I was playing with my dog one day, and this sort of was in the back of my mind. And she was on her back, and she was just sort of, you know, I was rubbing her belly and her little legs were going up, and I could tell how happy she was. And I just thought to myself, oh, I love this dog so much. I love animals. And this little voice inside of me said, well, if you love animals so much, why are you eating them? The voice of conscience. So I thought, oh my gosh, this is really inconvenient. And I started picturing her, and don't worry, I'm not going to give anything traumatizing visions or anything, but I started picturing her as if she were a farm-ass food animal in the slaughter line. What would she be going through? And I know my dog so well. I know when she's nervous. I know when she's happy. I know when she's, you know, upset. I know when she's not feeling well. And so I could picture her in a slaughterhouse line moving toward her end, and how terrified she would be, what her body must be going through. And I thought, I would go to any length to save my dog from going through a fate like that. And I thought to myself, well, if I would go to any length to save my dog, why do I so easily eat a pig or a cow or a chicken? You know, there's really no difference except for I know my dog and I don't know that pig. And, you know, they're just as lovely. All, you know, animals are, you know, created by the same force that created me. So they're just as lovely. And so if I knew these other individuals, I wouldn't want them to go through that fate either. So I decided in that moment I wanted to be someone who didn't eat animal stuff. And being from the South, when I grew up eating nothing but animal stuff, and, you know, into my adult years, I thought, well, this is going to be challenging because it's all I know. But I decided, you know what, I'm just going to lean into it, because that kind of peace is what I wanted in my life, that kind of living in a way that was true to my values, my internal values being kindness, mercy, being a responsible steward on this planet. That was aligned with having a peaceful diet, which did not include eating animals because of what they go through. So that's, and over the course of about a year, year and a half, I leaned into it and I gradually became completely vegan.
Wow, that's a very impactful story. And I love that it was all generated from love. So now, yeah. What do you say to people who may not be that, you know, I love the fact that you have these 72 reasons, because that your whole reason was externally focused. You wanted to create a better existence for animals on the planet, not to be pursued as food. And that's beautiful. But what do you say to people who say, you know what, I feel that they're here for, for that reason.
Totally. And a lot of people. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, you're right. A lot of people do think that way. You're right. Not everybody has empathy for animals, and not everybody, you know, believes that they have souls or anything like that. And I completely respect someone's, you know, personal beliefs, and that's why Gene and I, we wrote these 72 reasons, because some people would be interested in animals. That was the doorway that I came through. But then a lot of people are interested in lowering their blood pressure or lowering their cholesterol or losing weight, or they're interested in, you know, eating in a way that does not create climate change. So we have all kinds of reasons in here, and it's each reason is about a page long, maybe a page and a half. No reason takes up more than a page and a half. And so you can kind of bop around to what you might be interested in or what is motivating to you.
Oh, I love that. So suppose a person is interested. They say, you know what, I'm interested. I'd like to try. What are some tips for an individual transitioning? Like, how do you actually transition what I've heard from people who have not necessarily transitioned to veganism, but have just transitioned to being a vegetarian, and what they've told me is that they had to really go through this intense part where they were overdoing it with carbs. So they cut out meat, but then they became this, you know, big consumer of carbs, and they didn't get the health benefits that they thought they were going to get because they were, you know, overloading on carbs. So what's the safest way to make the transition?
Well, first of all, I would say there's different kind of carbs. You know, there's carbohydrates that we think of as the enemies, like, you know, cupcakes and just white pasta and, you know, white bread and French fries and bagels and cookies and cakes and stuff like that. And those are definitely carbs that are not our friends, you know. But there's complex carbs are the stuff of life. It's what our body needs. It's what our body and brain evolved on. It's what feeds our brain. We need complex carbs to survive. And everything that we need pretty much is complex carbs. So that's whole grains, beans like lentils or, you know, brown rice or barley or rye, seeds like quinoa. A lot of people think quinoa is a grain, but it's actually a seed, which is highly protein packed. And vegetables and fruits, those are all complex carbs that are the good ones, the really good ones. And so I would say, insofar as getting rid of the bad stuff, I'm a big believer in crowding out, not cutting out. So, you know, when I went vegan, I didn't say, okay, I'm going to just not eat meat anymore, because that just made me want to eat meat. It was like you go on a diet and you just can't wait for the diet to be over. You know, it's like you cut out something and that's the thing that you want the most. And so I like crowding things out. So I like to say I can have whatever I want, but first I'm going to have this stuff. I'm just going to try this. And so, for instance, like I love, you know, once a week I have you know, burrito and taco night. So instead of having a beef burrito, I'm going to have a black bean burrito instead. And I'm going to have the guacamole, and I'm going to have the salsa, I'm going to have all the fun stuff. And I'm just going to crowd out the beef with some black beans. And so I'm going to still enjoy my burrito, but I'm just going to have switched out the protein. So I like switching things out, and then I don't feel like I'm at a loss. And there's, you know, today there's so many great switches. If even, you know, it's better to have whole foods, so like real beans and grains and vegetables and things like that. But sometimes we like a burger, and, you know, there's such great burgers out there that are plant-based, made without animals, like the Beyond Burger, the Impossible Burger. There's all kinds of stuff out there that you feel like you're getting the traditional foods that we grew up loving, so we don't feel like we're missing anything. And once we sort of, you know, turn to those transitional foods, we're like, oh, okay, I'm not really missing anything. I can still have a pizza, but a pizza is going to be with, you know, soy cheese or almond cheese, and it's going to be with veggie sausage instead of pork sausage. So I'm going to still get the feeling of eating pizza, but I'm just going to have it with non-animal proteins instead.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that term. That was going to be my next question, that you talk about crowding out and instead of cutting out. That's so important to not feel like you're missing out on something, or, you know, you're being denied something, because you're right. That goes back to focusing differently. When I say I can't have something, you're constantly thinking that's the thing that I must have, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, switching our thinking. Yeah, I like that.
Yes.
I like that a lot.
Yes.
It occurs to me that I just introduced two terms, and I think it would be good for our listeners to know the difference, because we're talking about being a vegan, but there is a difference between veganism and being a vegetarian. Could you elaborate on the two of those?
Absolutely. So a vegetarian is someone who doesn't eat the flesh of an animal. So they're not going to have chicken, they're not going to have fish, they're not going to have pork or beef, but they would have dairy, which is the milk, or they're going to add the fluids, or they would have eggs from chickens. Someone who is vegan doesn't eat anything at all from an animal. And the reasons are because, well, there's a bunch of reasons, but eggs, you know, eggs are basically full of saturated fat and cholesterol. One egg has as much cholesterol as an 8-ounce steak, for instance. But on an ethical level, you know, the egg-laying hens are some of the worst conditions of any animals on the planet, the way they're raised to produce these eggs, and the living conditions are just heinous. And as soon as they stop producing rapidly the eggs, they're slaughtered and you know, made for dog food. Same with dairy. You know, back in the day where we saw the farmer and, you know, they were going out and getting the daily bucket of milk, it's just not like that anymore. They're milked in these horrible machines and factory farms. Day after day, standing on concrete, they get terrible infections called mastitis, which is very painful. And the milking process, you know, there's lots of blood and pus in it because of these infections. And the cow, of course, has to be impregnated constantly, because that's how they produce milk, where they're just like humans. You know, a woman gets pregnant and has the baby, and then she produces milk for that baby. Well, the baby, the calf, if the calf is born male, they're not useful to the dairy industry. So they are carted off and they become veal. That's why the veal industry was started, was because of the surplus male calves that were no use in the dairy industry. So they're slaughtered in a terrible way. They're little babies and they're kept in these small crates. But the females, the calves are dragged away from their mamas, and it's a horrible thing to witness, because the mamas are just miserable. They bang their heads. They bellow for days, missing their calf. So it's a very sad process. And then as soon as the cow is done producing milk, she's worn out. Usually after about 5 years of day after day after day standing on the concrete, she's basically carted off to slaughter for hamburger meat. And up to 100 cows, dairy cows, may be in one regular hamburger. So they're all just ground up together and made. That's where ground beef comes from, sadly.
Wow.
So that's why there's a difference. You know, someone who's vegan is just going to opt out of all animal foods, both for health reasons and for ethical reasons. And the difference, you know, I also use two terms on the cover of the book, 72 Reasons to Be Vegan, Why Plant-Based, Why Now? And vegan, you know, we use the word vegan and we use the word plant-based because the word plant-based is usually for people who are coming into it for health reasons. They want to lose weight. They want to get stronger. They want to reverse type 2 diabetes. They got to lower their blood pressure. They're plant-based. They're not thinking about the animals. They're not thinking about climate change, all of that stuff. But if you're someone who goes vegan, you're probably interested in the spiritual side of it. You're interested in the animal consciousness part of it. You're interested in keeping the land clean, the water clean, the air clean, all of those things. So being vegan has more of the body, mind, soul components, where plant-based is I'm just concerned with my health.
Right. And either way, what I hear there is there's something for everybody in this lifestyle. So if you're coming at it plant-based and you're looking for an improved health condition, this is actually one of the fastest ways to do that through diet, right? Because a lot of our healing, I remember years ago reading, a lot of our healing comes through our diet, as well as a lot of our sickness, comes through our diet. Right?
Exactly.
It makes sense.
Totally. Right.
So,
yeah.
So we get, we're in this space where we get to choose, do we want to have a diet that is moving along the pathway towards our goal? It's so interesting that earlier today I was doing an interview and I was talking about leadership. And I mentioned that, one of the things we can become a leader in is in how we reach our goals with our diet and making sure that the food choices that we're making are leading us on the pathway towards our goal. I think one of the fastest ways to get to a health goal is through diet. So you mentioned weight loss and weight gain from eating animal protein, but what are some other health benefits that we could list off? We know, of course, if you cut down on fat, you can reduce your cholesterol, but there's some other very interesting things that people could benefit from by introducing a vegan lifestyle or a plant-based diet.
Yeah, absolutely. Within a few weeks, you can reverse type 2 diabetes. You can lower your blood pressure within a month. You can reverse heart disease in a fairly good amount of time if you do a healthy whole food plant-based diet. And altogether, vegans live longer, and that's because, unprocessed plant-based foods are free of cholesterol. They have much lower saturated fat. They're very high in fiber and complex carbohydrates, the good carbohydrates. And so as a result of that, vegans have lower blood pressure, less cancer, less heart disease and diabetes, and they also have a healthier gut microbiome. And, when you have a healthy gut microbiome, that is the thing that keeps your whole body healthy. When your microbiome is off, that's when you have the system-wide inflammation. And inflammation causes all kinds of problems in the body. So when you're avoiding those animal products, you're actually bringing your body into balance. So you and you're living a longer time. They say the studies show that healthy vegans tend to live about a decade longer than their meat-eating cohorts.
Wow, that's significant. That healthy gut is so – we hear so much about inflammation and all these other bizarre things that are happening, gluten allergies because of unhealthy gut. We've had Kathy Freston as our guest today talking about 72 ways to become a vegan and 72 benefits of a vegan. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Create and build the life of your dreams. Welcome back to Everyday Peace with Dr. Dravon James.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Dravon James, and this is Everyday Peace. Our special guest for this half of the show is Lori Bischoff. She is an author, a performance coach, an advocate for holistic nutrition, and the host of We're Talking Shift podcast. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thank you, Dr. Dravon. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. And I am so excited for our topic today. We were talking a little bit during the break about, you know, feelings versus a state of being and just yeah. our overall impact on our life. And I just want to share just a quick, our quick commentary during the break. I was talking about, you know, we're so happy to see that the world and the nation, well, at least in here in Maryland where I am, things are improving. We got the COVID vaccine mm-hmm. moving along quite nicely. And I'm happy to see that things are improving. But then I'm heading home to get to this show and there's traffic everywhere. And it was such a good thing to see people about. And that was my choice to view it that way, right? We have a choice mm-hmm. on how, a perspective on things, right? Because the other way to view it was, I have 10 minutes to go live and I need this traffic to be gone.
Right.
But you know, I kept my focus. Go ahead.
Exactly. And that's the practice right there, Dr. Dravon. You said it. I kept my focus, even though, you know, those thoughts, because you're like, oh, I'm watching the clock. I've got to be there by a certain time. But, you know, you're doing the best you can. And so even though your thoughts were maybe wanting to get away from you a little bit, maybe a little bit panicky and worried that you may or may not make it, but you have the practice of reeling the thoughts back in so that you don't let them change the state of being that you need to be in when you do, you know, arrive at your destination, right? I mean, I think that is part of this is maybe semantics, but I think that when you look at it the way we're going to talk about in a moment here, it really helps you to differentiate between feelings and emotions. That's one thing, and then a state of being. That's a whole other thing. You know, and I think that most people who are at peace and who are even experiencing success as defined by them, their own version of success, no matter what the outer circumstances are, they have certain things that they do. And I think two of those things are really important for keeping them in a certain state. One of them is they have a gratitude practice. And I think that, you know, when we have a gratitude practice, and this goes back to something that you said at the top of the show, which was about managing our dominant thoughts. You know, when we change our dominant thoughts, we change how we feel, which means we change our state of being. So when you are feeling grateful, that's like one thing. But when you have gratitude, that's a different thing. So let's lay it out like this. you can do being grateful, right? Like, but it might be like attached to things like I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for my relationship or my spouse or my house. I'm grateful for food. You know, it's being thankful for something or someone, which is awesome. It's the feeling of being grateful and thankful. But when those things are disrupted or removed or taken away from your life, then there goes the feeling of gratefulness, right? Because it was attached to those things or those people. Now, here's the semantics or the slight difference. Gratitude is not really a feeling. It's more of a state of being. It's like the feelings are the emotions, right? They come and they go, they ebb and they flow. But a state, I like to say a state has weight. It's the mindset that you operate from. It's the foundation, so that even though you may have some unpleasant feelings or some things may go, leave your life, you may have some loss of some sort, but you still live and have your being in this state of gratitude. And I think that phrase that we've all probably heard a million times, an attitude of gratitude, it really expresses it perfectly, right? Because when we live in a state of gratitude, it's not really attached to anything that you either have or don't have, or a person you have in your life or don't have. It's tied to your mindset about life overall, about your life, you know, your role or your place in it. So,
oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I think I like to make that exact same comparison with happy versus happiness. So we could come back around and say the same thing. Happy is like a feeling, right? You're happy about something. It's an emotion. And like all emotions, it comes and goes. It's you know, feeling happy is typically contingent upon something outside of us, you know, something
right,
that
I always
like
say that
or,
happy,
yes.
Happy has to do what is related to what is happening. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Right, so,
it's something
right,
where
yeah.
We, yeah, we... Exactly. We might, it's something we agree with or we're excited about, you know, whatever the thing is, it's making us feel happy. And then whatever that is goes away. So does the happy feeling, right? But it's a feeling again, like sadness or anger or frustration. Those are all feelings and emotions. Again, we go then over to a state, happiness. That's your state of being. It's a state that we live in and we experience. And we experience our feelings within that state. So for an extreme example, maybe like, let's say you are someone that lives in a state of happiness. That doesn't mean you don't feel sad. That if you lose someone, for example, maybe there's a death of someone that you care about, you're still going to feel sad. You're still going to grieve. But you're doing those are the feelings within your state of happiness. You're still overall a happy person. You just may be experiencing those feelings for a period of time. You know what I mean? It's different than if you're a person that like lives in a state of depression and then maybe you just experience a happy feeling on a rare occasion. You see the difference?
Right. And I think when you say it that way, people can really get it because we all know people who are living in this, maybe let's say like a state of depression, right? And then something grand happens in their life and they have this spark of happiness. But their overall take on life is, you know, and I'm not talking about clinical depression, but their whole state in life is an overall more depressive, more blues-like outlook on
negative.
Life. Negative. And I love when I think, and like you said, when you think of state, you think of weight. I love that. Because I think this is the perspective of which you come to life with, you know, or come at life. You know, if you're a person who has gratitude, and that being the state is what you're saying. Like being grateful would be the feeling. The gratitude is the state of which you exist in, and in that state, you will experience the entire rainbow of emotions. But your baseline. Your outlook on life, the foundation of what you are is this gratitude. So, you know, you'll have all the regular emotions, but your baseline is there. And I think you're more likely in that, and you can let me know if you agree with this, but I think you're more likely, if that is your state, to have resiliency. things happen, but you're able to get back to your foundational state more quickly. Mm-hmm. And there's no rush on it, but you're able to rebound or be more resilient.
Totally. Yeah, because that not being in that state is actually unnatural for you. And so when that's your set point or your baseline, when that's how you move through the world, when your state of being is it that happiness state or that state of gratitude, when you hit a speed bump or something happens that kind of throws you off course, you know you need to, you know, we need to experience our range of emotions. I mean, we're humans. That's what we do. But we don't stay there. We then move through it and we process and we heal or we recover, you know, whatever's required based on the situation. And then, like you said, we're resilient. We bounce back. We come back from it and we don't let it fold us like a house of cards. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
And that's the place that we want. That's the place we want to be, because that's the way where we know when we're in that state, when we've practiced, because really it's a practice to get there. There's an art to it, and it boils down to being able to manage the thoughts that you dwell on, which, you know, again, back to what you were saying earlier, thinking very consciously rather than unconsciously and managing those thoughts. But we know that, okay, I've, you know, in my own way, I've been in this feeling of, you know, kind of blues or sadness or frustration or stress, whatever it is. When your natural state of being is one of gratitude and happiness, you want to get back there because you know that that's where you'll thrive. You know that that's where you belong.
Right. So let me ask you, how would a person, let's suppose we have a listener right now who's thinking to themselves, okay, Eureka, I got it. You know, there is this state of being, and then there are the feelings and the emotion. And they're really trying to figure out, like, what is my baseline state of being? How would you know? How can you assess yourself to determine where you are?
That's a great question. And I think if you're willing to sit down and have an honest conversation with yourself, number one, or look in the mirror, whatever, that's one way. And literally ask yourself, have a conversation with yourself, asking yourself some quality questions, like on a scale of 1 to 10, you really can break it down. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do I normally feel just on any given day? Like 1 being awful and, you know, 10 being ecstatic. Where do I fall in that range? Am I a 2? Am I a 5? Am I an 8? And you can literally just, you can measure yourself over the course of 30 days. You can have a little chart and go, how do I feel today? Scale of, you know, 1 to 10, circle a number and keep track. And you can break that down even into different categories. How do I feel about myself today? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my relationship? So, you know, those important categories in your life, you can break them down. You can literally set up a scale on a piece of paper, I mean, you know, and write a number. And then at the end of 30 days, you can go, wow, you know, my average for how do I feel about myself is only like a 4, or maybe your average is an 8. And that will give you an indication. It'll help you become more aware, because a lot of times this is just a lack of awareness, because we're, you know, we're habitual. We just get into habituated ways of moving through our days and how we feel, and we get used to certain set points. And sometimes we just don't even realize it until we actually pay a lot of attention to it. So that's a really simple way for somebody to do a little self-assessment and determine where they rate themselves in some different areas of their life on a scale of 1 to 10. And if you're low, or even if you're not at a 10, if you feel like, okay, there's actually room for me to up level here, I could feel better. How do I do that? And then that's when we circle back around to then the process of becoming a master of your thinking and managing the thoughts that you dwell on, right? Because as you and I know, it's not about the thoughts that just kind of fleet through your mind. We have a bajillion thoughts fleeting through our mind all day, right? Every waking moment. It's the thoughts that you find yourself dwelling on. You're living in that state of mind all the time. We, you know what I mean? Those are the ones that are creating a certain emotion, and that is going to determine that the state that you find yourself in most of the time. So we have to really practice managing our thoughts and directing our thoughts towards something that's going to support the state that we would like to be in. And so gratitude is one practice that helps us with learning how to manage our thoughts, because when we shift our thoughts over to what is good, what you are grateful for, what you love in your life, what's good in your life, whatever it is, you are training your brain to focus on the good things, the positive things. And then you can change the meaning of the things that you have negative thoughts about. So if there's things that you're attaching meaning to that are negative, then you have the choice to go, maybe I could apply a different meaning to this thing that I keep dwelling on that always makes me feel crappy or negative or angry. Apply a different meaning to it. The new meaning means you must have a thought, right?
I want to just take a moment with that one, because I think that's so important. I think a lot of people, we've talked a lot on this show and on many other shows, we see it everywhere, about, you know, having an attitude of gratitude, and really that will begin to shape your life. And I know I do.
Yeah.
I talk a lot about having an active gratitude postcard that I write, a little index card every morning, and keeping that with me throughout the day, as you know, because our days, we go through, we cycle. We go through these, you know, high on the mountaintop, low on the valley, and in between sometimes. And we need to have something that we can hearken back to bring us back to a baseline. Mm-hmm. But I love that gratitude. Gratitude is the answer for so many things. But this changing the meaning that we give to certain thoughts and circumstances, which is what I told you about with the traffic today, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding that is so powerful. And I talk about that in my book, and I know you do in yours as well. I talk about that, and I just want to let people know that we have the power to do that. We give the meaning to everything that occurs in our life. And Lori, you may remember this show. I definitely remember it when I was a kid, Dragnet, and he would always say, only the facts, ma'am, right? And I used to run around saying that all the time, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, right? But the facts are the facts, but they don't mean anything without the meaning that we attribute to them. So I love the idea that we get to be so creative and say, yes, these are the facts. You know, I was stuck in this horrendous traffic, and this is what that means to me.
Right.
This is what that traffic means to me. And it does take practice, but I was able to sit in that traffic today and say, this means that I'm living in a state that is becoming healed. People are getting vaccinated. People are feeling more courageous and getting back to outdoors and all of this. And so then I get happy and think about, wow, this is a big change from this time last year, right? We can do that with every part of our life.
Yes, exactly. And that's such a great example, too, because we all experience getting stuck in traffic or getting behind that slow driver that you just can't get around and he is just cramping your style big time, right? And so that is a great example to practice. How could I make this mean something that serves me, that empowers me, that is means something that could be good instead of something that frustrates me and stresses me out? Exactly. And by doing that, we change the thought, we change the feeling, we change our state. It's a beautiful process. It just takes practice, and everyone has the freedom to be able to implement this.
Yes, and here is the thing, too, that I love about it, even more if I didn't. We do that, and the whole process is so organic that it allows us to take full benefit of the emotion. We're not denying any emotions. We're not suppressing any emotions. We're saying, I feel this about this, but here's what I want, you know, here's just another way to look at it. So you give yourself the complete range of being open to what's happening now, but not allowing that emotion to drive your life in the opposite direction of your goal.
right? If your goal is to be in this and have the state of being that is great gratitude, then you don't drive your life in the opposite direction of that. You say, okay, I acknowledge I'm feeling one of these emotions, and that's great, and I'm able to feel my emotions. How wonderful is that? That's even great, right? That we get to feel these emotions. But then we're not powerless. We're not powerless over these emotions. They just cannot whip us back and forth.
Right, right. It's like we say, you can either let it use you and ruin your day and blame somebody else, or you can use it and you can manipulate it. You can become the master of it and shape your day and how you feel and shape your state.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I hope people are feeling it's so empowering. And when we realize how powerful we are, life changes. Life changes. It really does. And you realize, you know, you sort of have this bring it on kind of thing. Like, oh, bring it on.
Yeah.
You know? Not that you're wanting bad stuff, but.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Whatever it takes. If you feel like, you know, if you got to kind of get into a warrior mentality to like, okay, I'm going to master these emotions. If that helps you start to get into the practice, you know, by all means, you know, use the tools that work for you. But really what it is, it's once we become a master of our emotions, it doesn't mean we don't feel them, like you said earlier. It just means that we are able to be the master of them so that they're not running the show. And then we're not a slave to them. The master. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. So we're talking about how to achieve our state of being that is desired. And we talked about having an attitude of gratitude. And we talked about attaching the meaning to the thoughts. Is there anything else that we can do?
Well, I think that sometimes, you know, it might be hard for some people to go, you know what? I mean, my life has gone down the toilet, especially lately. A lot of bad things have happened, and it might be really hard for them to latch on to something to be grateful for when all they can see is things, you know, loss or stress or whatever. So, you know what? You can, if as long as you're alive and breathing, you can find something. You just have to find something that's true for you to hang on to and then slowly build on that. So, for example, one of the things that I love to do is every morning when I wake up, I sit up, and before I start my kind of prayer or meditation time, whatever I'm going to do, or my spiritual reading, I go, thank you for breathing me. Life is breathing me. I actually have this. Everybody that's alive can be in a state of gratitude that life is literally breathing you. You don't even have to think about it. You can be unconscious and sleeping, and it's doing it for you. And I just find that to be the most miraculous thing. I can manipulate my breath if I want consciously. I can, you know, change my breathing pace or do whatever. But if I'm not thinking about it, which most of us aren't most of the time, there's this miraculous thing doing it for you. And that's one thing that anyone can start with. Wow, I'm being breathed by something greater than myself. That's a great place to start.
Yeah, that just gave me like this wonderful visual too. It's like the Great Mother, you know, where the universe or what have you, however you want to label it, but is actually breathing us, and then gives us the freedom to regulate the breath as we choose to. But you know, I called it the Great Mother because that was just the feeling that I had come over me when you were talking about that you're actually breathing me, and that gives me and from that loving experience, I can do whatever I want with that breath. You're not going to deny it to me. You're going to keep doing it over and over again, and I get to be free with it and use it as I will. And that's so comforting. And I do agree that for people who are experiencing trauma, and we know that, you know, life teaches us that it's cyclical, if nothing else. We're either in the middle of something, coming out of something, or heading into something. And I gotta tell you, that phrase used to just make me quake in my boots when I was much younger. But I realize now that through all of that, it is our state of being
that is being developed, because it's every experience is an opportunity for us to hearken back to the truth and to honor the fact that we get to hold on to the state of being, and it the state of being itself helps us to move to a higher level of consciousness as we cycle through life, the journey of life, you know, and holding on to that foundational belief. So I think it is just phenomenal. Now, as we're talking about our feelings and our emotions, what I'm thinking about people whose emotions, as I mentioned earlier, who let their emotions sort of, they ruminate on things. They get in an emotional pattern and something will happen and they just harken back to all the horrible things that have happened and they can't push forward. Is there some practice that these individuals could do to help them sort of release that energy and move into a more positive use of their energy?
Yeah, I think, you know, in addition to what we just talked about, I think that one of the things that we can do, another thing, is making sure that you're not blaming others for anything. So it's really making sure that you're not in this, because when you're blaming, when you, like, if you have negative feelings or you're depressed or you're angry, you're frustrated, you're, you know, whatever your feelings are, if you're blaming others for feeling that way, you really disempower yourself, because now you are basically saying, well, all of these other, this other person or these people, that situation that they were involved in with me has control over me. You're allowing it. And so when we blame, even if somebody else is at fault or was at fault, if we hold on to that, they will continue, you know, that the situation will continue to have control over us. You can't have the freedom that you desire when you keep dwelling on it, especially if you keep yourself in a victim mindset about it. The victim mindset.
And I
have
to agree. Responsibility, taking responsibility puts you back in the driver's seat. And that's what Everyday Peace is about. Everyday Peace is about us owning our power, walking in our power. This is Dr. Drayvon James. I absolutely love you. We'll talk next week. Thanks to our wonderful guest, Lori Bishop.
Thank you.
Been listening to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James. You have the power right now, today, to make the decisions, to take the actions that lead you to your next level of greatness. And I would love to walk with you on your journey. Here's some ways we can connect. Schedule a coaching session. Contact me at info@drdrayvonjames.com. Enroll in my online university course, the 2020 Clarity Course, at the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning International. Enroll in the Brilliant Life 9-week online coaching session with me and Keisha Dixon at info@drdrayvonjames.com. Purchase my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, from Amazon. Thank you for being an everyday peacemaker. I absolutely love you.
Thank you for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Do you
sometimes feel you don't deserve good things? If you've ever struggled with feeling worthy, you'll want to work your way through the delightful new journal called Worthy of Wonder from Unity Books. It's full of coloring pages, spiritual quotes, writing prompts, and creative exercises that will help you explore and understand your divine value. This spiral-bound journal is the perfect gift for you or a loved one. We all deserve to feel worthy. Learn more at unity.org/worthyjournal.